Welcome to the InnovaBus podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't yet joined our wonderful Flywheel Nation community, go to flywheelnation.com and join in the podcast conversations. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast. Welcome back to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where today we're threading the needle between the digital and the physical with the expert guidance of our guest, Mark Stern. As the founder and CEO of Custom Box Agency, Mark has carved a niche in crafting tangible customer experiences that complement and enhance digital engagement. In today's episode, Mark's insights are your blueprint, guiding you through the complex fabric of modern marketing, stitching together the physical and the digital elements to create a cohesive brand experience. By the end of our discussion, you'll walk away with actionable strategies to seamlessly integrate sensory experiences into your digital campaigns, ensuring your brand not only resonates, but remains unforgettable. You'll be equipped to design customer journeys that are not just efficient, but extraordinary, transforming every touch point into a lasting impression. Join us as we unravel the secrets to weaving memorable connections that engage both business outcomes and customer satisfaction.
Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome today to the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from Austin, Texas in the USA, of course, Mark Stern, who's redefining the way brands connect with their customers through memorable and impactful physical and digital experiences. As the founder and CEO of Custom Box Agency, Mark has pioneered a unique approach that blends tangible products with digital marketing to elevate the customer experience and deepen brand engagement. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Mark. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
Jürgen, it's good seeing you again, and thank you so much. I really do appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation today because your journey from strategic consultant to becoming a trailblazer in the customer experience domain is really fascinating and exciting. I was excited chatting to you in our introductory call. Now, your work at Custom Box Agency, you help transform how brands engage with their customers, and you've also set a new standard for creating meaningful connections, which is, you know, at a personal level in the digital age, which is something that I'm very passionate about. So with such a visionary approach to blending that tangible asset with the intangible, what's the impact you're hoping to make in the world, Mark?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So for those who are listening to this session, one thing I want to anchor on is how we see the role of physical is, I think a lot of people when they hear, okay, you can leverage direct mail to send people something, they think of, oh, we can send them a swag box or a gift in the mail. And those are different strategies. We joke at Custom Box Agency and say that swag means stuff without a goal. If there's no intentionality behind the experience that you're creating for your customers, you're just spending all this money on stuff. And I want outcome. I want to help people get results faster. So a lot of what we look at a Custom Box Agency is I think the big problem we solve, there's a couple of problems we solve, but one is this idea of, as a business owner, do you truly understand what you're asking your customers to do. And it, we have these stories in our heads and we have the service that we create, but we forget sometimes that we're defining something that we think people want, not truly getting the crux of like, what do they actually need? And can we give them the tools and resources that can accelerate outcome faster? So when we start to think about it, when I think about the digital age and how people went so extremely digital in the late 2000s, throughout the 2010s, and still to this day, what we're leaving behind is this idea that experience, and like we thrive in this experience economy. Experience is seen through the senses, touch, taste, sight, sound, smell. When you go to a place like Disney World or Disneyland or a movie theater, or your favorite restaurant, that immersive experience is really about activating all those senses. A digital only product activates only what you see and what you hear. So think about scrolling through Facebook. It's just what you see. Looking at Instagram, what you see, YouTube, see and hear, podcast, what you hear. The dynamic of then sending something physical to complement a digital experience, you're not only sending the tools and resources that people need to be set up for success, but you can activate the senses that are just not available to activate with a digital only presence. So that's where we're starting to look in this to say, how do we create a new opportunity? Well, it's really thinking through how do we create what we call an immersion experience, something more immersive. And so that's kind of where we see a lot of our role. How do we give people the tools and resources that they need to be set up for success and get results faster? Don't put up obstacles, remove those barriers so they can get the outcome and hit the ground running with whatever you have to offer in a faster capacity.
Yeah, I love that. There's so much to love about that. And you're right, the traditional kind of approach to swag has been, well, people will have a nice cup and I don't have one here, actually. Oh, yes, I do. There's one there. People have a nice cup like this and they'll remember the brand name, right? Every time they take a drink of coffee or whatever their drink is, they'll remember it. But that's about it, isn't it? And if it was Starbucks, that might make sense. But it's some brand that's got nothing to do with coffee or tea or any other drink, so it doesn't really make any sense, does it?
It doesn't. What you can do in those situations is then think about, can I build an experience around the mug? And so when clients really want some elements, like some type of promotional item in there, my question usually is, do you drink coffee? And I can't tell you how many times people are like, we should put this in the box. And I'm like, do you use this? And the answer is no. If it's not leveraged as a connection piece, then it's stuff. And so if you told me that you have this ritual that you drink coffee in the morning and journal, you can give them the journal and the coffee mug, your coffee mug, because now it's a connection point. Or you may say once a month, you bring your community together to do a virtual coffee chat that everyone on the coffee chat has the same coffee mug as a unifying mechanism. That's how I see the role of swag, is a lot more intentionality behind it. But that's just scratching the surface with what's possible.
Yeah, I love that. It's really, when you were describing that even before, it reminded me of the quote by Maya Angelou, who, I think we all know that one. People don't remember what you told them. They don't remember what they see or hear. They remember how you made them feel, something like that. And so it's all about bringing that feeling to the fore, isn't it? And that connection, that human connection.
That's it.
So one of the things that strikes me through that is a business that wants to kind of set up this custom box, if you like, needs to really understand the customer journey and where they're trying to go and what are the touch points on that customer journey so that item can kind of fit in there somewhere that makes sense, right? So talk to us a little bit about that.
So customer journey is everything to us. I would say we could not build out any box experience without defining and having a clear customer journey. And so this is another big problem that we solve with our clients, because when they start to work with us, we're very strategic. We like to get into your business. We like to understand exactly, again, for me, understanding what you're asking your customers to do. In order to do that, I need to understand we always say with the customer journey, it starts with the desired outcome. What is the thing that you're selling? So you want to start with the back anchor to say that this is what success looks like. And this is the outcome that people are striving for as to why they're buying my products and services in the first place. Then you want us to define your front anchor, which is what we call start here. Some people call it the onboarding process. Do you have a clear onboarding process? And onboarding needs to be about educating people on the journey that they're about to go on. It needs to show and remind them of the tools and resources that they have access to. What typically happens in the onboarding part is if you see a high attrition rate, a lot of people refunding or disappearing after the first few weeks of working with you. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's because people get so overwhelmed that if they get overwhelmed and they don't see results or progress, they take it personally. And they think that they are, you know, being set up to become a failure. No one wants to feel like a failure. So if you are starting to feel like a failure, it's easy to refund because you can escape or just to disappear. And so this is why onboarding is so important in that journey and really showing them. And if you think about, like, it could be anything. Before you play a board game, you learn how to play the board game. Before you play a video game, they typically teach you how to use the controllers and understand how to navigate the game. Before you go to university, you go through an orientation that is all about how to navigate the university experience. So many of these common constraints that are already out there start with a really well-defined onboarding process, which is all about setting you up for success. So when we work with clients, it starts with the back anchor. What is the desired outcome? Then it looks at the front. We start to say, okay, what's the onboarding or the start here process look like? And then we start to define the core phases or stages that take people from the beginning of the process to the desired outcome. If I have that journey defined, the reason it's so powerful is I can then incentivize behavior. If you get to a certain milestone or phase in the process, I may recognize and celebrate you just for the momentum that you've been creating. I can introduce new products and services. I can see where people are getting stuck to then say, okay, we need to revisit this part of the journey to optimize it for our customers. I can take that entire a 10,000 foot view of that journey and use it in my sales collateral. There's just so much that you can do when you've defined the customer journey. But if you don't know what you're asking your customers to do, it's like putting them in a system and saying, good luck. You know, I hope you make it. The more you can build that recipe from beginning to end, the more it's going to make it easier for you to deliver your business, to scale your business, because you have a repeatable system that drives results.
And there's so many examples of that where, you know, I've experienced this so much. I sort of get in and, okay, what do I do now? And it's kind of like that. Okay, you're in now. Good luck. Hope it goes well for you. One of the things that struck me as you're explaining that is not every customer's going on the same journey, right? So you've got, I mean, for me, for example, I mean, it's the classic thing. When all else fails, read the instructions. But normally I dive right in if I get a new toy, right? So I want to get to the end point real quick. So I dive in. And then if I get into trouble, then I'll go back and see, well, what do the instructions say? How do you account for people's different styles in terms of where they get in or their different starting points? So if, let's say it's a technical or a digital product of some sort that some people come in and they have a lot of experience using digital products. So they kind of can jump in at a level where they understand, okay, this is the principle behind these things. This is how it's working and I'll jump right in there. Versus the person that needs their handheld to even to the point of explaining how to log into the system.
So the best way to do it, there's a couple of different ways you can approach it. One, if you group everyone in one category, and to me, those are two very different types of avatars that a business could be working with. But if you put everyone into like the same journey, what's going to happen is the newbies, the people who are not as accustomed to using digital marketing as a space that don't even know what a sales funnel is, don't even know how to set up a landing page, don't even know how to like activate their email versus someone who's a little bit more seasoned. You may have a track that is for someone who's new. You may add a jump start to get them up to speed at a certain level versus someone else that's a little bit more veteran. You may define a separate journey for them that allows them to navigate your products and services just a little bit faster. But recognizing that is really, really powerful. The other element of this is, and we've had a lot of clients that have had people at various different levels, people who are just starting out with the business, people who have generated multiple six figures and beyond in their business. And they're all starting the same pathway. The challenge that you face is people are going to start comparing themselves to people you put around them. And if I start comparing myself to someone who's a lot more seasoned, I'm going to feel bad about myself and the journey that I'm on. And so this is part of knowing your avatar and which journeys that they're going through, because I may define a journey to say, if you are new, then this is the pathway I want you to go. But if you're more seasoned, start going on this track. I may segment how I communicate them a little bit differently, or I may remove timing as an element. And I've seen timing as a factor. And what I mean by timing as an element, if I tell you, oh, you should be able to get through this in 30 days. Well, the reality is some people, if someone is new and that's not realistic for them, I just put up a timing constraint that's adding pressure to them. So sometimes, especially if you have like a membership that people are paying monthly, removing some of the timing elements are a really powerful way to say, all you need to do is focus on getting through phase one. That's all you need to worry about. Because if I can get you to phase one and into phase two, it may take one person a week to do it. It may take the next person 2 months to do it. It doesn't matter. Do not compare yourself. But all you need to do is focus on the phase that you're on. Because the second you complete that phase, you're one step closer to the outcome. So that's kind of where timing can be another element that you play with, that someone that's a little bit more seasoned, you may put them through a lot faster. Someone that's less seasoned, you may remove the timing element so they can go at their own pace. And that's okay, given the construct of how you're structuring your products or services. So that's the big thing, is that if you start doing this, and I've seen this with a lot of different programs, people are comparing themselves in a way that they shouldn't be comparing themselves to someone that's truly not at the same level that they're at, and whatnot. But that's what I would say for that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So how do you dissect a customer journey, a client's customer journey, in order to then come up with some ideas as to what might be a box experience that will work for them and deliver the outcomes you've sort of outlined for us?
Yeah, where we start, it's one of my favorite things to do with a client. We research our clients pretty heavily because we all in our businesses leave a lot of breadcrumbs all throughout the internet. And there's a lot more about all of us than you would expect on the internet. But part of what we like to do is take it from a stance that if we're working with a client, if I were just a person saying I'm interested in this influencers or this business's products or services, that's essentially what I would do. I would start researching them. So we're effectively doing what I do naturally when I'm interested in someone else, but then we build a whole report around it. So step one for us is what we call a strategy session with clients, that I want to understand what's the broader vision for the business level. What are all your products and services that you offer? The reason that this becomes really important is it all starts to feed when we get down to a program level journey. All these are insights that are important to know because it's the universe that you're creating. So step one for us is, let me get the broader picture of the business before we look into a specific product or service or program that you have to offer. Step two is we spend an entire day with our clients. They'll fly down to Austin. We have clients globally. We have some clients in Australia. So we would meet with them virtually instead of them coming down to Austin, Texas. But if they have a product or service, we ask before that workshop for full access to it so we can actually go through it. The reason that's important is the more that I can delve into your world and see how you are structuring things now, when we get together for that workshop, what I don't want to do is be learning about your business. I want to be able to hit the ground running and maximize the day together, because the second we see how you've structured things, we've done this so many times at this point, that we can show you what options are that exist. So that's what we start to look at, is what is the big vision for the business? And then let's hone in on a product or service, because a box experience typically is based off of a product or service, not the business level. And then we already have a strong idea from just going through it. And again, what I want to see is a clear pathway from start here to the desired outcome, and understanding how are you rolling out programs? Because some people may do a 6 or 8 week sprint. Some people have a year long coaching program. Some people have a month to month membership. Some people have an e-com product. There's all different ways to lay it out depending on what it is you're trying to achieve. But the crux of what we look at is there a clearly defined pathway? If there's not, then we define it. And I need to define that, because if I don't have that defined, as we go deeper into the workshop, it's just going to build and build upon it, because we'll go deeper and deeper into the different layers to then come up with a very clean structure and an actionable structure to get people through your products and services.
It's a very comprehensive.
It's a fun process because we get to delve deep into you and your brain.
Yes, and I imagine with the diversity of all the businesses you get to work with, you kind of learn a lot as well.
So much. And it's funny, but like the whole goal here is, at the end of the day, our role is to show you what's possible. You know, I want people to have the essence of, you know, you are walking into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and anything is possible. And that's kind of like the essence of when you bring physical to digital, it just unlocks a different layer. And for me, I love gamification. How do we gamify this? So it's basically saying, how do we take gaming tactics that keep people engaged and incentivize behavior as they go through critical milestones? That to me is one of the most fun things to do. But, you know, as long as I can just give you the gift to say that when you think about how you deliver your products and services, anything is possible. If you ever get inspired by seeing something out there, there are things that, like, so much of my business has been inspired by me growing up as a child in the 80s and original Nintendo and my love of board games. So it's like, there are certain very nostalgic themes that fill my heart that, like, we have our own products that have been highly inspired by things from my childhood, reimagining them and bringing them into a different domain. And when you realize that, you know, anything is possible, it truly is, that if you just have the right lens, you know, you can create a magical experience.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I was having a conversation the other day and reflecting on some of the modern technology that's available to us today and how a lot of it was essentially foretold in some of those. And I'm a child of the 60s, so in some of the TV shows then of the 60s, like the smartwatch, the phone watch that Dick Tracy used to have and those sort of things. So yeah, it's interesting that kind of the things that captured our attention as and hooked us as children have the potential to be used here in a completely different context to still hook us and hook people like us and give them an experience that is memorable.
We're doing a project right now that one of the things that we're putting inside the box is a decoder ring, which I don't know if you remember from the 60s, 70s, 80s decoder rings that you would get a code and you have to line up the numbers, which reveal the letter that you can then decipher. And that's being like as a hidden element to create these Easter eggs that you'll go through the experience. But there's another underlining experience in this box that activates the brand in a different way for those who tune into it and figure it out. So it's like a hidden surprise that's there, but you may not even see it if you don't pay attention.
Love it. Yeah. So that's, isn't it in Dan Brown's, can't remember the name of the novel now.
They're all Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons.
That's it, Da Vinci Code. Yeah. Isn't there a lot of that stuff there?
Oh, yes. And he has the cryptext. So the cryptext that you're talking about, so I think it was in Da Vinci Code, which was this, it had a vial inside and you had to line up the letters in a perfect way to open up this little device you kind of finagled with your hand, almost like a combination lock. We are literally doing a cryptext with one of our clients right now because they were like, they love that effect because it looks so elegant and they have to know the word and inside is something secret hidden inside. Those are just fun Easter eggy surprising elements, but it also, you know, it was funny. I bought have you ever done an escape room?
No, I haven't.
Escape rooms are in there. Now they have like box sets. You can buy like board game escape rooms you could do at home with friends. And one of the ones I had was it had the whole clues that you needed to solve this murder. And inside there was almost like this money bag. Like if you take to the bank, like a bank bag, but it had a combination lock on it in terms of how it was designed. And it drove me crazy because all I wanted to do was get inside the bank bag to see what like hidden surprises were in there. But in order to do it, I had to play the game. I had to follow the journey. I had to go through and like get to the outcome to then get the code, to then break it open, then to have the next piece and take me a little bit further. that's a perfect example of something that you can engineer in your own business as you start to think about how do I take this experience to another level? Because I want it to be something that keeps people engaged, not another thing you buy and put on your bookshelf. But I want that element of excitement that you don't know what to expect. So people are leaning in just like you do playing a very good video game or watching a really good show or movie, that you're just leaning in saying, oh, I'm not going to leave until it's done.
So you're taking gamification to a whole different level, right? I mean, essentially you're a game designer.
So, but yeah, that's where like this is where I get excited.
Yeah. So with the personalization, the level of personalization you do on each of the boxes and with every customer, how do you balance that need for kind of customizing things and producing these at scale?
That's a great question. So there's a couple different angles we could take with personalization. One is that's interesting. One is personalization down to the client level, to say, like, because the reality is every single experience we build out, there are certain baselines that we tell clients, you have to do it this way, like certain things this way. Like, you have to have a journey map. You have to have a getting started guide. Like, to me, you have to have a really great box piece in there. There's certain elements like that. But beyond that, the look and feel, the story, the flow, everyone's business is different. And so we're just going to bring to life your business. And so when we work with clients, we can mimic their brand identity. We can help them reimagine a brand new one. That's so important because a lot of our experiences that we build have 30 to 50 pieces in it. And it just depends on the needs of the client. But when they go through the workshop, although the structure of our workshop is the same for every client, what's different is the outcome. It's never the same. And so no two boxes are the exact same. This isn't, if we each had our own box, our box is basically the same experience with a different color scheme and a different logo slapped on the top. No, these experiences are truly designed down to the brand, because every business and every brand is different. And for us, we've just built the formula to make it really easy that when people come into our system, we have the team and the structure. We have a really large design team because we're so design heavy. Right now, I have about 12 full-time designers on the team. And so when we get into the essence of building what we call the blueprint to the box experience, they're able to bring it to life in a really powerful way just by following through the process, because every business is unique. The other angle of personalization that we're starting to play with, that I'm very excited about testing out in the market, is leveraging AI in a really powerful way, and more specifically AI plus a lot of the voiceovers, voice captured AI, that, you know, for us, we'll be testing a box experience that is personalizing it, not on a client level, but on a customer level, because the technology does exist that you and I can receive a box. But imagine if you scan a QR code and type in your email address, it instantly says there's a welcome video that's already customized to Jürgen. It's already customized to you or to me. And it's like, hey, Mark, I'm really excited to walk you through this experience. Just that element of it, AI can do that. And bringing that like hyper individualized customization into a box experience, especially when you tie it to a digital channel. So that's kind of like when I saw it in action, it blew my mind to say that this is possible, but that's all I need to know is it's possible in order to know how to do it and test it. And so that's like, just imagine receiving something in the mail and you scan a QR code and it literally welcomes you by name. Like, that is a really powerful thing. And it's in a video, not just text.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, and there's like, it's one of the really, I think, valuable ways that we can use AI today, because there's so much sort of mixed press, isn't there, in terms of some of the simple uses where people are just using AI to write blog posts or write articles or even write books in a way that they're pretty bland and they lack personality and you know, you look at them and say, oh, that was written by an AI. And yet there's so much that can be done because of the power of these things.
And in this case, literally, it's just all I want AI to do is use my voice to just drop in the customer's name in the video. But everything else is the same in terms of that experience, because I think it's exciting. It's creepy. It's just crazy to see the direction the world's going in. But part of it is it's possible. In this day and age.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know Jill Scheffelbein, who was a guest on our show a little while back, and she I just can't remember the name of the business now, but what they do is they produce videos like you're describing, and the video, but it's even more powerful than what you're describing, because what they do is they create a digital avatar of you, let's say, from a day spent in their video studio doing some recordings, and they produce a digital avatar, and you can then type in some text. So not just "Hi Mark," and it's the template that's spoken in the video, but you can type in completely free text, and that digital avatar will speak that, and it will look like it's you.
And more
than that, this one blew me away. You can do it in any language. And
that's really
demonstrated this to me, and I saw the part that was done in German, and I thought, and because I'm bilingual, so I'm fluent in German, and I thought, and she doesn't speak any German, and I thought, that's perfect. It's perfect German, and it not just perfect grammatically, but it actually gets the message across exactly the same way as it does in English. But then the thing that really blew me away was it also did it in Mandarin and Japanese and the Asian languages. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me. And for me, then it becomes, then what's the application when we're starting to blend physical and digital? And it opens up this just universal world that I think is so powerful. Mm. When done ethically, everyone do it ethically.
Yeah. Exactly.
The advancement. Yeah.
Well, that's a whole another episode, actually.
Totally.
There's always two questions around this that I'm fascinated by in the AI is, how can you use it in really innovative ways that actually help us build that human connection, build that human engagement, rather than just, you know, write something in, hey, I want a new blog post about XYZ. And the second one is the ethical question. And I think it sort of comes back to, you know, we've had fantastic tools and fantastic technology all through the ages, and there's always going to be people that find ways to use it for evil. So I guess we just got to somehow manage that and control it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that there's a degree of authenticity that goes away when you're 100% AI. Now, at least in today's day and age, because the amount of people who are like, write a book in a day and do this in a day and, you know, have it done in an hour. You can't replace human connection. You can't replace like personal, authentic stories. And so for me, when I think of AI today and how it's being utilized today, it's very much, how do we keep the authenticity and the personalization and use AI as a tool that complements, as a tool instead of a tool that replaces? And because I like, now I'm hearing that Google's going to strike down content that it can figure out, because if there's an algorithm that it can easily figure out that this is more AI generated content, and it's going to deprioritize that. The question is, you know, how do you bring in that human connection or that personal element of you in your own personal stories? Because that's something that AI can't replace for me. Is, I mean, I'm a firm believer as an entrepreneur, there's so many people in some capacity or variation, like they have a product or service that's probably similar to the one that you have, the one that I have, the one that any of our listeners have. The biggest difference is I am not you and you are not me. And so when I think about it, somebody can take Custom Box Agency, they can take our exact blueprint, they can take everything that we do, but at the end of the day, they're not me. And I think that that's really important, because people want to connect to people that, you know, I think there's a lot of pain in there on this earth. And I think people are looking for the trusted mentor or guide that will help them advance and go to the next level. And so this is kind of where, like, having that personal identity and that connection element, I think, is just critical. Because, you know, I want people to feel connected to me and my movement and my mission, and know that my heart's in a place that I want to get them results faster. I mean, that's just so much of why we built this business is I see a big pain in the online space. People put up too many obstacles to helping people get results faster. For example, you know, we had a client that she has a coaching program and she had her people print out the workbook and it was 300 pages. So when you have 300 pages of sheets, in theory, I may spend thousands of dollars to buy your products and services, but you just put up an obstacle because you're assuming I have a printer. The printer has ink. I have paper. My printer is set up to my computer. I'm organized. So when I have all these pages printed out, I'm organized. If one of those things goes down or goes wrong, you just put up an obstacle that they're going to look at this and go, well, someday I'm going to get around to doing it. When the reality is I could print that same exact workbook overseas, probably less than 10 bucks, could be less than $5, depending on the page count. And if you're spending thousands of dollars with me, is it worth me spending $5 to $10 to send you the workbook? Well, absolutely, because I just removed the obstacle. I just removed the thing that may prevent you from getting started now. I gave you the tool you needed to be set up. So those are the things that I'm just constantly looking at to say, how do we make this easier? Because I want to know if you're working with me, I have set you up for success and giving you everything you need to be successful. Now it's a conversation about getting you inspired and motivated to take the action and do it.
Yeah.
So it becomes a lot easier conversation, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really valid point. And so often people unknowingly build those barriers in, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, unknowingly, it's amazing because then you start to, I get to play back to our clients. So this is what you're asking your clients to do. And they're like, oh, or do you know that you like when they log in, there's 47 hours worth of content that you're expecting them to go through. And the amount of clients that have looked at me and was like, I had no idea that there was that much content in my portal. So just imagine like logging in and seeing that. For me, I value time. I don't want to spend 47 hours. I want application. I want to know like, how do I get a result now? Because, you know, I'm in pain and you have a solution that could help reduce some of my pain.
Fantastic. All right. Well, in creating some of these experiences and certainly memorable customer experiences through the boxes, is there a particular moment or some feedback from customers that's really profoundly affected you either personally or professionally in a way that you hadn't anticipated?
I think that the thing that surprised me, it's amazing because when I started this business, I never came in, like, I was such a corporate dude. Like, I was told growing up that there's one way to happiness. And it's like, you graduate high school, you go to college, you graduate college, you get the dream job, and then you go to grad school, and you graduate grad school, and then job and White House and picket fences, or, you know, the white picket fence and kids, and everything is great. And I followed that path to a T. Like, I followed it to a T, and I was like, I'm poster child of corporate America. Like, this is, you know, how it's supposed to be. And I graduated business school. I got my MBA at Duke in 2012. I was $165,000 in student loan debt. I had a 2-year commitment to a big consulting firm and this entrepreneurial spirit. And I was like being an entrepreneur is the most irresponsible thing I could ever do because I have all the student loan debt. And I felt the weight of that debt. It took a lot of mindset and rewiring to finally be in a place. It took me 6 years in post-grad school to finally say, it's okay to take the leap. And the reality was I had no idea what I was going to do when I made that leap. I just knew that 98% of my brain was occupied by this corporate consulting job I had. And I needed to let that go to free up the mental capacity to like get inspired again. And that was a hard shift for me going from corporate America to the entrepreneurial realm. The biggest thing I think a lot of people, if you have any listeners that have been through that transition, it was understanding that these are two very different worlds. It's like playing two very different games. I always use the analogy of checkers versus chess, like corporate versus entrepreneurship is like checkers versus chess. The game board looks the same. Both you play checkers and chess on the exact same game board. The rules are completely different. And when I left corporate America and became an entrepreneur, I was playing the game of entrepreneurship with a corporate set of rules, and I was failing miserably. And so finally I had to say, okay, let me stop and learn how to play a new game. And then when I learned how to play the entrepreneurial game, my competitive edge was all the skills I developed by playing this other game. And that became what made like me unique in the sense of, and that's true for all of us. All of us have that story in the sense of our past is basically our competitive edge to our future because it's our own experiences and journeys. And I think I underestimated, like when you're in corporate, you don't know how good you are. You just know how good you are in the bracket that you were hired into. And I think that the plight of becoming an entrepreneur was freeing in the sense of the only person who's truly holding me back. There's no corporate structure holding me back. It's me. And I needed to get a lens on what impact can I create because I had no litmus for that. I didn't know what impact I could create because I was always in a corporate job that those barriers were defined. And the thing I think that surprised me the most is just sharing my perspective to clients and seeing how I see their business. And I did never imagine as this business was evolving, it would become what it is today And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes because I mean, I'm just having too much fun. But I mean, I think the big lesson that I learned is that people don't understand what they're asking their people to do. And when I start to show them this of what it is and kind of put a spotlight on them, like I'm forcing them to get really clear on their business. And that is the one piece of feedback that I get from all of our clients that their head starts to hurt because they haven't critically thought about what they're truly asking their people to do. And now we're getting into a black and white where business owners don't do a good job defining what success is. And what I mean by that is, have you told your people like this is the milestone that they need to be achieving? Because if you haven't defined success, then they don't know if they've been successful with their products or services. And a perfect example of this is, are you familiar with the ClickFunnels world, the ClickFunnels platform? Yeah. So ClickFunnels has an award called the 2-comma Club Award. And so they've defined success is if you make $1 million using ClickFunnels, then you can earn this award. And so they define what is success, making $1 million using ClickFunnels. Like that's black and white. Those elements are really powerful to say, have you defined what success looks like for your people? So they know that they've achieved it. And if you have, how do you extend lifetime value? You introduce the next milestone of what they should be striving to achieve. And you create desire around it.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, well, it's interesting. I love the metaphor of chess and checkers for the corporate world versus the entrepreneurial world, because certainly I had many of those experiences that you had, you know, taking a certain skill set out of the corporate world and saying, okay, this has got to fit over here, but it doesn't quite fit. And when you do make that or have that realization that, okay, I've got to play a different game, but I do have a heap of skills that I'm bringing with me from the other experience, then, and how can I apply those? Yeah.
That's it. And I don't ever want people to think that, oh, I'm pushing, then when I hear people say I'm pushing the reset button, you are never pushing the reset button. It's not the right lens. It's not the right mindset. You're just learning to play a new game. And the second you learn to master that game, then your competitive edge is the world you came from. And that is something you should never, like, so that's why I'm like, you never push the reset button. Even if you pivot, it's just, if you're playing Clue or Monopoly and now you're switching to play Risk or Ticket to Ride's my favorite board game. you can't play Monopoly rules on Ticket to Ride. It's just two different games. Just give yourself permission to learn how to play the new game.
Yeah. Great metaphor. All right. Well, I think this is a good moment to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, Mark. It's the same five questions that I ask of every guest, and the idea is you'll give us some short, sharp, insightful answers that'll inspire the listener to go and take some action today as a result. And there's no box experience to go with it, but maybe we can create some metaphors.
Love it.
You all set?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yeah. What's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
So innovation to me, and this was a definition I heard, is developing a better process. So if someone takes 5 steps to create, like to get to a result and you can do it in 4, that's being innovative. Innovation is not about coming up with the next iPhone. So the number one thing that you can do is look for how do I optimize or make this process more efficient? If you have a competitor that can get someone the outcome in 5 steps and you can do it in 4, that's innovation. That's disruption. So then think about ways that you can increase efficiency. That is innovative.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that you said innovation, you don't have to come up with the next iPhone, because a lot of people kind of dismiss ideas that they have because it's not at that sort of perceived level, if you like. And yet it's something that could have enormous value.
And real quick, the fact that we are being dubbed innovative and we play with direct mail. So we're talking about take the letter, put it on the horse and buggy, and eventually it's going to get there. Like, email is instant. We are playing with a legacy channel, and we are being dubbed as being innovative. So if I can take something like direct mail in a box and create innovation through it, innovation's all around us. Do not overthink innovation.
Yeah. Great analogy. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Oh my gosh. So nap time is my favorite way to develop new ideas. So I've learned the 3 things that if I need to get clarity, walks, shower time, nap time. Those are my big 3. So anytime I have a problem or a challenge that I'm trying to think of, for whatever reason, I always joke and say my subconscious is the smartest person on earth. So yeah. I just take a nap and my brain sorts it out. But part of this is just, how do you come up with ideas? Slow down, change your environment, and give yourself space to not be distracted. So that's kind of where those are 3 common moments: shower time, walks, and nap time, that brain slows down enough to be creative with ideas.
Yeah. That's and it is the subconscious that's processing a whole lot of stuff. It's doing that all the time. And I think what you've described is a way to quieten all the noise down that's in the conscious brain, so that some stuff can bubble up that's being worked on subconsciously.
It's amazing. So your subconscious is your best friend. So learn to tap into it, because there's been challenges. I'm like, I don't know the solution to this. And then I take a nap and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Do you have a favorite resource you use most often?
Favorite resource that I use most often. Okay. Especially within our world, we're so design heavy. And so any platforms that communicate between us and our clients and streamline processes are really powerful. So one of my favorite resources is a platform called FileStage. FileStage, literally, we are able to upload design elements and share it with our clients. They can provide feedback directly in the platform. They can navigate through all the different assets that they need. But in terms of streamlining such a critical part of our process, they can even approve designs in it. We have to have the approval, because with boxes, when it goes to print, it's not like a digital product that I can just upload a new PDF or refilm a video. Your alternative is, if something's gone to print, is to reprint it or let it ride. And so this is where physical and print is less forgiving. Having a platform like that just forces a common communication to ensure that what goes to print is the thing that the client wants to go to print. So it streamlines so many of our business processes.
Okay. Well, we'll include a link to that for those people that want to check it out further. What's the best way? You've touched on this a little bit. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
Best way to keep a client on track is really getting to the heart of what is important to them. And for us, we have built a process in a way that truly our clients are in the driver's seat. It's not about what I like. At the end of the day, it's about what they like, because as an agency, we would love to be a forever partner for all of our clients, but we have to assume that whether we're a part of a season of your business or a forever client, we're just grateful for the journey. But at the end of the day, you are going to be selling your products and services. So for us to keep a client on track, the more that you can communicate, we give them the pathway. Here's the journey you're about to go on. Here's the timeline of things that we are collectively trying to hit. We demonstrate to them that they're not clients, they're partners. That's important to us, because I want them to feel that their win is our win, their losses are our losses, and we're in this together. And then we really want to be able to understand the heart of why they're doing what they're doing, because if I understand that, then we can reinforce that at different points of the process to help keep them on track. So for us, we want our clients, we truly want our clients to win. The other thing I would just say is own the process. Like, don't sugarcoat things. I think that like we've gotten so comfortable having the hard conversations, and part of having hard conversations is this in some ways is the best way that you can serve your clients, is that if you only tell your clients, yes, I'm not a believer that the client is always right. I'm a believer that we want to serve our clients at the highest level, but the client's not necessarily always right. The food industry has always said the customer is always right. The reality is, especially with what we're doing and bringing to life these things, there are things that you have to do because you have a responsibility not only to your client, but you also have a responsibility to your team. And so this is about, how do you make everyone win? Well, if you have alignment of expectations, I think that that's really, really powerful. But it's okay, because sometimes the best thing you can do with a client is tell them yes or tell them no.
Yeah, really, some really important points there. Love it. Okay, and the final question, and again, we've touched on this throughout the conversation today, but in a snapshot, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
The number one thing that someone could do to differentiate themselves. That is a great question. Okay, here's what's coming to mind. There's only one of you. So how you infuse. So the one of the things I say to my clients is that if like a good box experience needs to reek you. And I say the word reek, and I should replace it with a different like version, like word than that. But I want it to so just stink and look and have the essence of you, not smell like you. I don't want to smell like you, but like, I just want it to be one of those things that when you hold it, you get so lit up, because this box embodies so much of the vision, the spirit. Because when we see that happen, it's magic in the way of how they can show up. And so this is kind of where it's just like being true to your authentic self is one of your best competitive edges that you should absolutely, absolutely lean into. And for me, like, this is kind of why I say cut the fluff and get down to the heart of it, because so many people do what they like other people are doing. They're constantly emulating. I've tried the whole emulation thing, and it's good for learning, but like when you feel inside that like there's a disconnect between what you're putting out there and like who you truly are, I feel like it's so obvious to the customer that they feel that energy and they feel the disconnect as well. So the other and thing that I would tell
you, it's very draining as well, isn't it?
Oh my goodness.
It requires a hell of a lot more energy to kind of, okay, I gotta stay on this certain path that's kind of foreign to me.
That's it. It's so much harder for me to try and put up a facade and be something that I think other people want me to be than just step in and be myself. Because I'm this way every day. Like, this is what you get. You find me at an event, I'm gonna be the same exact way. Because I don't have to think as much. But the other thing is, don't be afraid of a blank canvas. And what I mean by that is, so many people get hung up on what others are doing. Custom Box Agency was never built on what other people are doing. It was built on what felt right to me and like where my heart was at the time. And then how we've evolved is just very much an essence of, you know, my childhood, my upbringing. And so this is kind of why, like, if you get good at mastering building things from a blank canvas, sky's the limit. Someone can take my entire business model and run with it. But again, they don't understand why I shaped it that way, or how it came to be, or the history of the relationships and experiences that I've had. And so in that sense, you know, that's how I stand out, is that if I've done it once, I can do it again and again. Part of it is just having the right lens.
And really, I think taking the time to kind of reflect and explore one's own experiences and knowledge and background and building that self-awareness muscle is so important in that, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mark. This has been a fabulous conversation. Really enjoyed it so far. Now, where can people find out more about you, about Custom Box Agency, and maybe even get in touch and say thanks for what you've shared today?
Yeah, amazing. Yes. Three best places. You can go to www.customboxagency.com. That's one route. You can always message me on Facebook or message me on LinkedIn directly. Both those platforms I'm active on. Just look for Mark Stern. You'll find a picture of me. Those are probably the best avenues. Custom Box Agency is the easiest place to get activated with my team or to learn a little bit more about what we do. But yeah, we have fun. It's a fun process.
Excellent. All right. Well, and we'll include those links in the show notes, of course, as always. Now, before we wrap this up, what action would you like our listener to take out of today's conversation?
I would probably say the best thing that you could walk away with it's okay not to have all the answers. If you're someone, it doesn't matter where you are in your business. One of my favorite books that I've read, and this was one that I read within the last year, and I tell everyone that they should read it, is a book called Who Not How by Benjamin Hardy. And so just understand that, like, if you can get the lens that we really share with a lot of our clients, that anything is possible, then stop asking the question of, you know, how can I make this happen? And just say, who are the people that I need to connect with or who has the solution that can allow me to get those results faster? It's just a really powerful thing. So Benjamin Hardy wrote that book, Who Not How, cannot recommend it enough. But so much of that is find your who's, because they're all out there, and you connect with the right who's, you'll realize the sky's the limit with what's possible.
Yeah, wonderful. Great call to action. And that's certainly a great book. I really enjoyed it and got a lot of value out of it as well. All right. Well, thanks so much for our conversation today, Mark. This has been absolutely fabulous. Really enjoyed it. I've got one of your custom boxes because I'm talking to one of your customers in a few weeks' time on the podcast. And so I'll be playing with that experience and finding out more. But hopefully we'll keep in touch, and all the best for the future.
Of course. Absolutely. Jürgen, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for listening. We'd love you to leave a review on this episode. It will help us to make the podcast better for you. Simply go to lovethepodcast.com/InnovaBuzz and pick your preferred platform. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/flywheel and secure your membership to the exclusive Flywheel Nation community, where you'll enjoy direct access to our incredible podcast guests, engaging meaningful conversations, and participate in connection events designed to elevate your business journey. Don't miss out. Join Flywheel Nation today. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got yet more fantastic guests lined up. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.